My mother was 93. Now, she had dementia, and that dementia stole so much from her. We had 15 different caregivers in our home. My mother never failed to seek to share a devotional or who Christ was in her life with those. And one actually came to know the Lord at our kitchen table. That's an example of what I mean by let's don't waste our lucid moments.
Welcome to the Mama Bear Apologetics Podcast. I'm Hillary.
And I'm Amy.
We are just two gals who are spiritually armed, highly caffeinated,
and just sassy enough to make bad ideas cry. Mama Bear is a ministry dedicated to helping you raise children who think critically, love biblically, and stand firm in the faith using scripture, reason, and reality.
Because remember, Mama Bears, this might not affect your faith,
but it might affect your children's. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another Mama Bear Apologetics podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you raise children who think critically, love biblically, and stand firm in the faith using truth and reason. Well, you are going to want to stay tuned to this podcast because I have with me Tricia Scribner, and we're going to be taking a look at how maybe more mature believers, mature Christians can now leverage the revival that we're seeing across this nation following the assassination of Charlie Kirk to bring hope within their home and embolden their faith.
I am excited about this opportunity because what's arisen out of the events of the past 2 weeks, we had the Irina Zarutska killing also here in Charlotte. Yeah. So that hit, and then the loss of Charlie Kirk came on the heels of that. And my thoughts after just that initial overwhelming grief and watching the nationwide grief that I wasn't even fully aware of the depth that it would be. But I watched that and I thought, so if all this movement and response is among our Gen Zers, which is ages up to 30, 35-ish, you know, what does it say for somebody like me, who's almost 70, for we who are grandmoms, maybe, we're not the young among whom the revival and the groundswell of response has arisen. Mm-hmm. It's not from within our age group. And we're already feeling on the sidelines because we aren't technologically as savvy. We don't understand some of the cultural questions that are being raised right now. They are so foreign to us. And we're tired and we're hurting a lot. You know, as we get older, we have these aches and pains.
Yeah.
We become self-absorbed. We're thinking about retirement and what it's going to be like to rest. So what is this revival, this groundswell happening with the younger generation say to me, for me as a Christian, what am I to do and who am I in this? And so this matters to me a lot because I'm a grandmom of 10. I have 4 in California. I have 2 in Boston. Wow. And then I have 4 who live on the property here with us, my middle daughter and her husband. And so I have access to some of my grandchildren, not so much access as often to the others, but I don't want to waste my time. Yeah. But I also recognize that in this stage of life, you know, we finally have some discretionary time. You want to do some fun things before you're too old to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we can become pretty self-focused. So it matters to me because of my grandmother. It matters to me because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And frankly, I was very old when I finished my school studies to get ready. And so I want to say to people my age, it's not time to pass the baton. It's time to get in the game.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I sit on the toilet. No one's knocking on the door or screaming or breaking something.
What is that like, Tricia?
So I don't want to waste this time I have, you know, but what does that look like for somebody my age?
Yeah. Oh, man. I love that. Yeah, because I joke with my husband now that I have a little girl, like she's right there with me in the bathroom. I'm like, I guess girls really do go to the bathroom in groups and it starts really young. So no. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about how, yeah, there was this shift in technology, which very often outpaces the older generation, especially if they don't see it as relevant or necessary. It's like, why do I need that? But even this shift in perspective with regards to older generations is there is a lack of respect, especially within American culture, For those who are older and have more wisdom and experience, it's completely flipped on its head to where the wise, the young, the intelligent, that's all of those who are like 26 and under. And I mean, we see this in their movies to where it's like Hunger Games, Maze Runner. It's always the teenagers fighting against the older, seasoned salt and pepper adults. And now what we need for, especially for the older generations, is to recognize you have so much experience and so much wisdom, and your stage in life allows you to have this bandwidth of perspective that the younger generation does not have. And so one of the blessings with regards to sort of the fallout of this situation is now that in experience and that wisdom can be leveraged for the kingdom as long as you're willing to pick up that mantle and be bold in the faith.
Exactly. And that's the thing. We are just now thinking of how we're going to spend our so-called free time.
Yeah.
Some of us are headed just maybe new grandmothers in the late 40s and early 50s, all the way up to my age group. I have my oldest grandson at age 21, but we're ready sort of say, well, let the young people handle this. Let other people, it's time for me to be able to focus on me. And indeed, there is a lot of self-care that we need to do. I know that whenever I finished school about 4 years ago, all I wanted to do was just read something that wasn't assigned.
Oh my gosh,
I was so thankful just to read anything that wasn't an assignment. It was so cool. But then after a while, that sort of wore off and my interest started growing again in the things that I had been passionate about it that led me to go to school for so long and to so late in life. And those are some of the same things in our lives that matter to us that we need to get back in and get focused and be ready to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very hard because I hear so many people, especially the women I talk with, say, Tricia, I just can't learn. I can't learn. I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
And then I had those friends who have true short-term memory loss, maybe not full dementia or Alzheimer's, but they're struggling with short-term memory loss. And they'll say things like, well, it's not going to matter if I come to your class because I won't remember it when I get home anyway. And so what we have to do is we have to realign our thinking with scripture. And that is, we don't want to waste our lucid moments.
Mm.
We don't want to waste those moments.
No.
My mother was 93. And she lived with me until this past December. She died right in the room next to us here in her bed. And she was in hospice in my home for 16 months. She had moved from Louisiana. Now, she had dementia, and that dementia stole so much from her.
Yeah.
And even from my relationship with her in some ways, because sometimes she would be paranoid about me.
I've heard of that.
In the evenings, it was really hard, sundown syndrome, you know.
Yeah.
And we dealt with that for the 16 months she was here. But during the day, she had lots of lucid moments.
Mm.
We had 15 different caregivers in our home to help me over different times, you know, from different agencies, that kind of thing. My mother never failed to seek to share a devotional or who Christ was in her life with those. And one actually came to know the Lord at our kitchen table.
Yeah.
She went home after my mom shared a devotional and decided she wanted to trust Christ as Savior, came back. We sat down at the table, talked it through, and she received Christ. Now, that's an example of what I mean by let's don't waste our lucid moments.
Yeah.
Also, if you have memory loss, and I'm just speaking because this is the reality that many of our younger people aren't facing, you won't identify with, but we're going to hit a whole new audience today because those of you who are struggling with short-term memory loss or early signs of dementia, you're not going to waste your lucid moments. And remember, when you come and seek to learn something, whether it's reading a post or coming to a class that's being taught on why we believe what we believe, and you're struck with new information, it sometimes goes like this.
Yeah.
One of the goals, in fact, the central goal, is not really just to build our memory banks and fill them with knowledge, but to change our character.
Wow.
And conform it into the image of Christ. And so my friend who has true short-term memory loss has said, I won't remember anything you say 5 minutes after you say it. Yes. But dear friend, what Christ will do within your character because of your faithfulness in the moment you do hear what is said is of eternal value and will last for eternity. It's part of your sanctification.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't waste your lucid moments. And when you struggle to remember, press forward and trust that God is conforming your character to that of the Savior, Jesus Christ.
Man, no, that is such wonderful wisdom. And what's important too, you know, you were mentioning about some of these lies that perhaps older generations have bought into of, I can't learn anything, or, you know, this is now time for me just to relax and in a way sort of focus on more entertainment and complacency, rather than leveraging this now free time to focus on new studies. And the importance of that is recognizing too that as a grandparent, you are so relevant in the life of your children and your grandchildren. That's one of the amazing studies that Barna did, is they asked teenagers who they went to for core questions about life and the faith. So talking about, you know, if they have a question about the faith, the Bible, if something's going on with their friends. And what they found is through these core issues, it's that mom and dad and the grandparents were the top three. So mom, dad, grandparents were the top three that their teenagers went to. So, I mean, if you've got a teenager that's a grandchild, or maybe you've got a younger child, like we're going to be in a few years, you know, that is a wonderful opportunity and something you shouldn't miss, that your kids want your wisdom. And especially for grandkids, what I've noticed with grandkids is that they are more open. They're more likely to open up with grandparents than parents, because there's that a bit of a degree of separation to where, oh man, mom's going to freak out. But you know what, grandma, I bet you I could talk to grandma, or grandpa, I could go and ask him a question and he's not going to jump to crazy conclusions and pull me out of public or whatever it may be. Yeah. And that's one of those things to where sometimes to get people to shift out of that apathetic mindset, they have to see the relevance and the practical nature of it. And understanding, you know, parents, grandparents, you are so relevant in the lives of your children, especially your grandchildren. I mean, the whole reason I am sitting here today doing this ministry is because of the faithfulness of my grandmother in my life. She was the one that gave us our first Bible. She was the one that gave us Sunday school tracts. We could ask her questions. It was a beautiful ministry that when she passed, she has left this legacy of faith that now, Lord willing, you know, I'm working at passing down to my own children. So man, grandparents, recognize that this is a wonderful moment in your life, wonderful stage in your life, that you can learn something new that can actively disciple the next generation. Because especially Gen Z, I know, Tricia, you've noticed it. Gen Z has been called the least religious generation, but the most curious about Jesus. And so many of these kids are getting influenced by TikTokers and perhaps maybe the He Gets Us campaign, when really they need robust theology, practical apologetics, and then know how to navigate a situation well within a discussion to be able to give a defense for the hope that is within them that best reflects their love of Christ, as well as the love and the grace of who they're dealing with.
Hey, it's Hillary with Mama Bear Apologetics. Did you know that we spend on average of 90% of our time indoors, but that indoor air can be up to 100 times more polluted than the outdoor air? My husband and I moved this last summer and immediately had our basement flood and had everything torn out of the basement. So when my parents came to spend a week, my dad was sneezing like crazy. And all of a sudden, like 3 days in, I was like, oh my gosh, we have not unpacked the Air Doctor Pro. Breathe Easy with Air Doctor Pro is the award-winning air purifier that eliminates 99.99% of dangerous contaminants like allergens, viruses, smoke, gases, mold spores, and more. And I can say that for a fact with mold spores, because we did find mold. Air Doctor was also voted the best air purifier by Newsweek. So it's no surprise that 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that their home's air feels cleaner, safer, and healthier. Unlike other air purifiers, Air Doctor captures particles that are 100 times smaller than the standard HEPA filters. So head over to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code MBA, like Mama Bear Apologetics, to get up to $300 off today. Yes, you heard that. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't like it, send it back. Plus a 3-year warranty. That's an $84 value, all free, just by being a Mama Bear Apologetics podcast listener. Get this exclusive podcast-only offer at airdoctorpro.com. That is AIRDOCTORPRO.com. Use the promo code MBA, like Mama Bear Apologetics.
This episode is sponsored by Piper and Leaf. Piper and Leaf is a U.S. family-run tea company that is passionate about slowing life down and serving joy one tea bag at a time. Each blend is handcrafted with ingredients straight from the farm, forest, garden, and briar patch, and every sip gives back because 10% of their profits goes to fostering and adoption efforts. Now this Christmas, they have created something truly special, the 24 Teas of Advent Tea Set. Y'all, this is gorgeous. It is a gold embossed box that opens up into a tiny bookcase featuring 24 what looks like little books to help you celebrate Advent. Starting December 1st, you can sip your way through 24 unique blends, each one paired with a Bible passage and a short story, poem, or song from the Piper family's holiday favorites. Every day comes with a little surprise, an activity, a recipe, or a craft that you can do together. And it's the perfect way to add warmth and wonder and connection during the season of Advent. Now, all you got to do is visit piperandleaf.com and use the code BEAR10 to save 10%, or find the link in our show notes and begin your order. It is not only perfect for your family, but a wonderful gift to bless someone in your life. So check out piperandleaf.com.
I was talking with three of my grandchildren about the issues that occurred because their teachers had talked with them about the Charlie Kirk murder.
Okay.
And they are in a Christian school, these four are. And so I asked each different age group about what was being said at school. So the 12-year-old said that, yes, that they had talked about it. And I said, well, Charlie knew that people wanted to kill him. How come you think that he kept on speaking out anyway? Mm. And he said, because he loved Jesus, because he loved Jesus. And then I just reiterated, because I just heard Hillary say it, the truth is worth it. Mm-hmm. And so I reiterated that. Now, having the fresh podcast episode or wherever I heard it from Hillary, it was just right there at the front. So I was able to stick it in that moment, say we have to decide, sweetheart, whether the truth is worth it. And to know whether the truth is worth it, we have to know what the truth is and why we believe it's true.
Yeah.
What is truth, which is one thing that you discuss in your book, or Hillary in the first Mama Bear book, and I discuss in my books as well. So we have to be able to do that, because all these claims have the presupposition that they're true. Even the claim that there's no truth presupposes that's true. So we need to be able to articulate that to our kids and to our grandkids. Now, it was interesting, the 9-year-old, so I asked him what was said at school, and he said that the teacher had said we need to be in unity. Mm-hmm. And it's a Christian school, so I'm suspecting that the context of that was within the Christian community. Mm. We need to be in unity and one. But I asked him, I said, should we be in unity with those who want to do evil or think wrongly about something? And he stopped for a minute, because obviously it hadn't been dealt with probably from that angle.
Yeah.
And he came to the conclusion, no. I said, well, you know, the scripture tells us as much as we can to live at peace with everybody.
Yeah.
And we are to love our enemies. But there are times that we are not to seek unity or what would be called peace at all costs, because the truth will sometimes divide us, and we can't be in unity. We still have to stand for what we know to be true and righteous and right. And then the 7-year-old, it was interesting. The discussion was just circling about Charlie and what had happened at school, and what he zeroed in on was the death penalty. And he said, do they do the death penalty with kids? I think that he was worried about that for him. And so I explained the difference between younger kids who don't know the difference, and the difference between accident and on purpose out of meanness. And we had to have that dialogue. So you have to develop your thinking and talk to different age groups and realize what the issues and concerns are for them. And that means that we have to keep thinking.
Yeah.
We have to keep learning, and we have to keep engaging, knowing we're taking a risk of making a mistake or misstating something maybe that our own adult children might not agree with. All of those are risks, you know, that we take when we speak out within our circle, and that is with our grandchildren and with our children and with our circle of friends or coworkers. Mm. We have to be willing to take those risks and to begin honing our discernment skills.
Yeah.
You know, that yeah. y'all were talking about, I believe yesterday when you were doing the K-pop, evaluating the K-pop.
Oh, right.
Demon yeah. Hunters movie. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and oh, so much, we can unpack there. What I love with your discussion with your grandchildren is it also reinforces the point that regardless of your age, you need to be aware of what's going on in cultures, specifically the shifts of language. Because like with your grandson, when the focus was on unity, you know, you hear that from a lot of more left-leaning, more liberal-leaning news sources to where, oh, this wouldn't have happened if he had just been more unified, if he had just been not speaking hate, you know, that sort of thing, to where kids, this concept of unity sounds good, but we have to first see, okay, in what context is it being defined? And then what's being asked of us if we are to agree to this definition? And that's so important, especially for the younger generations who, as kids, they want to get along. They want to play. They don't want evil, especially to occur. And so they can easily be swept up into an ideology without realizing it, simply if we don't take the time to unpack the language that's being used in their setting. And so I love how you modeled that, because again, it's important for us to, regardless of age, be involved in what's going on in culture, the shifts with language, and then proactive in discussing with our grandchildren. And that's one thing I've been approached by other grandparents, is they are afraid to bring up these conversations because they're worried about their adult child perhaps cutting them off, getting angry, whatever that may be. And so I've heard many say, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable actually speaking about this to my grandkids, because what happens if I lose the visits, or if maybe they start limiting conversations, or if my daughter gets angry at me, or my son gets angry at me. So can you give maybe some practical encouragements for grandparents who are really struggling?
I think that we need to dig into that a little bit, because whenever we say we can impact our grandkids' lives,
yeah,
there's a whole swath of us who are struggling to maintain a relationship with our adult children, the yeah. parents of our grandkids, and who are the gatekeepers who have the key to our grandchildren.
Yeah.
And having gone through some alienation during certain times, the pain of that and the grief and loss of that is exquisitely hurtful
yeah.
and disorienting. Mm. So we have to decide what is the wisest thing to do in the moment. And it's not always the wisest thing to speak, or especially about issues that are difficult or hard. Once they already know what our beliefs are and why, if we see our kids bristling, or maybe it may be our daughter-in-law or our son-in-law who isn't a Christian, and we see them bristling and we start to feel fear, just because we are in a setting where we could speak doesn't necessarily mean we ought to. You all talked about the certain settings, I believe it was yesterday, where it's not the wisest to speak in that setting. That requires discernment. Every kid in a college class doesn't need to speak out against what the professor's saying. Mm. That might not be the best environment. It doesn't yeah. mean that you're a coward. Mm. Sometimes you're being prudent and wise, and you choose other ways to do it. And some of those ways, when God has been banned from the conversation, for instance, will be through acknowledging the design of the universe, noticing things about the beauty of nature, and asking questions about where our grandkids think this came from
yeah.
and how it happens, how it happened by accident. Okay. And then we may have the opportunity to mention God, but sometimes we won't even be able to mention the word God. And to keep doing it once our family knows what we believe and why we believe it may be divisive unnecessarily. It doesn't mean always that we're compromising just because we don't speak out against something. I have to remind myself that I am no longer the parent.
Yeah.
I am the grandparent. Mm. And while I have children who are Christians, fortunately, the fact is I have to be careful how I speak with my grandchildren and get their parents' permission to have certain discussions with them that is their territory. So this is a new journey for us who are in this place.
Yeah.
And it does require wisdom, and it depends on the situation, whether we have part of our family who is not, who are not believers. Maybe our children never became believers. Mm. We may have reared them in a Christian home. They get to choose.
Yeah.
I mean, they can go through the motions. I saw that plenty of times in a Christian school.
Mm,
I don't think that the students, I taught seniors, were being deceptive.
Mm.
They just had learned how to get along in a Christian school. But I don't think that many of them ever had a heart transformation in trusting Christ and repentance of sin.
Yeah.
And so I have to recognize this, that that's their journey. Mm. I can share it with them. I can be open about it. I can be available. But I also have to respect the boundaries that the parents have set. And I don't want to be the grandparent who sneaks things, don't tell mom and dad, you know, that gives the cookies, for instance. You know, this is our little secret.
Yeah.
That's just not a healthy way to love and build a relationship with the parents of our children who may be our children. And we want to do our best to be able to honor when it's not an issue of righteousness, an issue of righteousness or them asking me to do something evil or wrong, then I want to make sure that as much as possible within me, that's part of living at peace, is to love, to truly love my kids, not just see them as a project to fix.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that our grandkids see that. And we have to remember, this is one thing I said in a blog post for Mama Bear, for Banning God Talk is a part of the title, if somebody wants to look it up, is we have to remember, if we live long enough, there will be the opportunity to build a relationship with them as adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want as much as possible to preserve that possibility of building that relationship with them as adults. And so sometimes we won't get to say everything that we want to say now. And there are other ways that we can do it, like I mentioned in that post, getting a Bible for each of your grandchildren, writing to them, and then giving to them when they're 18 and they're graduating. So I'm working on, my third grandchild's Bible. I'm getting ready to get that one now because my second one just graduated and I just gave her her Bible. So even in the years where you may not be able to reach them, or there's alienation or stress in the relationship, and you're not able to see your grandkids maybe for a couple of years or longer than that, you can still be communicating with them as you write in the Bible and in your prayer journal. I even made copies of some of my prayer journal notes for my 21-year-old grandson and have put it in his photo album and just gave it to him not too long ago. And he'll have it when he gets married in a few months to know that the years that I wasn't, because they live in California, that I wasn't there and I couldn't be there. The long space of time with COVID, we didn't get to go out, is that I remembered him. I loved him. And I interceded on his behalf during those years.
Oh my gosh, that's so precious. Thinking back on my own life, like those are the types of things as a grandkid that are so valuable to you. Like that stuff you read over. So that is wonderful. And you know what I loved in your wisdom with regards to navigating tense situations with discussions is that there's a way to help people think critically about an issue without directly appealing to the Bible. And that's one of the characteristics that Charlie modeled that was so well done, was that Socratic dialogue of asking questions, to where if something's raised within your home, if you are patient, gentle, if you are asking good questions of okay, well, what happens if this worldview is applied? Or what do you mean by this? You know, pulling a little Greg Kokel there, to where you can actually... You can actually unpack the issue without directly going into maybe a trigger area that happens to be within Christianity, depending on the family member, to enable the adults and the children to practice good critical thinking skills. Because ultimately, that's what was so impactful with regards to Charlie's ministry, was that it was a very direct, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the best word for it, but it challenged this younger generation to think critically, which so much of millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they have been raised to react emotionally rather than think critically. And he encouraged them to love God with their minds and to think well about subjects, to where that's something that even as grandparents can be nurtured within the home and will help a child draw near to truth and be able to recognize it, which, you know, can be modeled by a loving grandma or grandpa.
That's right. It's not an easy task. I think that my generation, I'm a boomer, we want to have all the answers. And we feel responsible, I think, sometimes to have the answers at our age. By now, I should know this, you know. But I agree with Greg Kokel when he says something like, never make a statement when a question will do.
Interesting.
And so we can ask, and then sometimes just leaving it to sit there.
Yeah.
Without jumping in and providing the answer and then getting the defensive response from the family member to say, well, I think it's also an important question to ask. What do we mean by the word love? And is love affirming everything someone says about themselves, even if it doesn't match reality?
Yeah. No,
that's
vitally.
It. Yeah. Ask me some potatoes, please.
Exactly. It's like we can have Sunday dinner without, you know, bread getting thrown, and we can have a good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And we won't do it perfectly. Relationships are shattered over far less.
Yeah.
That's the way humans are. We're broken. And it's hardest sometimes to witness within our own families. For one thing, people know me, the real me, and they have good reason to think that I'm not genuine and sometimes I'm hypocritical. And they're right. They're right. That's why the issue isn't how well I perform as a Christian, but who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
Who is he? Who does he claim to be? And why do we believe that his claims are true? This is, they have to deal with him. And so the strain he has already carried on his shoulders to the cross.
Yeah.
I can walk within this place and learn to love my family members and love them well. Sometimes feel constrained in what I can say.
Yeah.
But also ask the Lord to teach me and mold my character and what he wants to me to be in this family.
Yeah.
And we all have to do that.
Well, and that's such a good testimony because, again, that's seeing the other person as an image bearer of God and treating them with respect, knowing that they need Christ just as much as we did. And somebody has to be willing to perhaps maybe shoulder an uncomfortable situation to be able to speak life into that. And that's something unique, I think, to the boomer generation, because I know millennials and Gen Z, it's very much marketed to where if you've got a family member that doesn't agree with every single point of your ideology, they're told, you know, cut them off. You can't have that person in your life, to where there is a very much this sort of abandonment culture, to where it's like, nope, we're going to cut everybody out who doesn't agree, and sort of circle the wagons in this echo chamber of whatever ideology I'm ascribing to. And so kind of that awareness, especially for the older generations, like this is a tactic that's used to cut off good critical thinking. Yet, even if you're in the midst of that situation, if you are patient, if you are kind, if you are gracious whenever you do speak, that speaks life not only into the adult children, but to the grandchildren as well, because they're watching. I mean, grandchildren are very observant and they pick up on the subtle nuances going on in the conversation. And even if a situation, perhaps maybe they are removed from grandparents for a time, those moments to where you are reflecting a Christ-like nature, that sticks in the kid's head. And like you said, eventually they're going to become adults themselves and they're going to be able to reach out and interact on their own terms. And what we're called to do is to give the best witnesses possible, not perfect, but the best witnesses possible so that they know that we are someone that can always be approached.
Yes. My 21-year-old in California sometimes will call me and say, Nana, I had a question about such and such. Somebody said such and such. I mean, just the fact that that boy calls me and asks me a question.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you what it does for this Nana soul that he would care one whit what I thought about anything. It's a blessing from God.
Yeah.
That he even wants to have a conversation with me, that he doesn't see me so far removed that I'm just the one who brings fun things when I come. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not so far removed from culture and from relevance to have an opinion that he cares about, that matters, that he wants to think through about something. Now, not all my grandkids do that. He just happens to be one who does.
Yeah.
And it means so much to me. And I take that responsibility very seriously. So when he has a question, I will look it up. And this is what I want to say as we get toward the home stretch here to people in the more mature category, is that we're going to have to work at this.
Yeah.
We thought we were just getting toward the end of our lives and we were just, finally I can relax.
Yeah.
Well, we can in one area, but that leaves us energy and empty mind time and discretionary time to think about the most important eternal issues that the day-to-day just ran by and flooded, just trying to get from one moment to the next game and to the next thing and supper on the table and how do we get homework done and get in bed and do it all over again the next day. This is the first time we've been able to take a breath. Let's use it for God's purpose. Let's don't waste those lucid moments. Let's don't waste the time that we have left. I've asked the Lord to redeem the time. I've spent so much time in school. I feel like Moses at age 80, and he lived longer than I'll probably live. And so I don't have that much time, Lord. Make it useful. Don't let me just waste it. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to do that and to get sidetracked. So I'm urging you who are listening in the 50s and up to begin thinking about what do I believe is true and why do I believe it's true? Can you share the gospel clearly? Mm-hmm. Can you articulate the essentials of the gospel to someone else? Can you explain it to them? Well, Tricia, I don't like talking to people. It's kind of private. Well, time is of the essence.
Yeah.
We see things changing quickly, and we need to be part of bringing in God's kingdom. I don't want to be over there twiddling on the sidelines, my thumbs, while the Lord's kingdom is being built and readied for his return, and I've wasted that. Mm. So, Lord, give me courage. Let me speak in the face of fear. But to be able to speak, I've got to get trained.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean I have to go back to seminary and take college courses. It means I am choosing to read this book that will feed into me what I need to know to be able to speak to my grandbabies so that it's right there at my lips.
Yeah,
I'm going to take this course that's I see online, or I'm going to watch all the Mama Bear podcasts over the past 2 or 3 years, or I'm going to research this topic. I don't care what angle you take. Choose to learn one thing. Mm-hmm. Don't let Satan tell you got to learn everything.
Yep.
Choose to learn one thing, and then God will make use of that one thing and build on it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find, if you find like-minded people, that it will grow. Actually, in the class that I'm teaching in my church right now, we have about 21 of us. And I'm teaching the first Mama Bear book, in fact. And all but about 3 are in the grandmother stage and up.
Wow. That is awesome. Yeah, the grandmama revival is incredible.
So it's exciting to see this matters to us too.
Uh-huh.
And we also need to understand that we need to do this for our faith.
Yeah.
Had a friend a few years ago say that she read the Da Vinci Code and she wished that she hadn't read it because now she was doubting.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Da Vinci Code's passed in terms of its popularity, but some of the same mantras are being pushed. You know, Constantine chose the New Testament. Some of those same falsehoods are still being promoted. But we have a faith that needs to be strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
We can be shaken at this age in our faith, and because it's easy to get out of church when you're not feeling well, or when you're wanting to buy that RV and go on the road. Now, if you buy an RV and go on the road, awesome. But that better be your mission field.
There you go.
Every place that you land, God, have fun. But also be ready when there's a crisis of someone that you meet who's new, to make that an opportunity to speak what is true. And you can only speak what is true when you poured in that knowledge and built it in so it's there for you when you need it. And that comes by also taking risk and practicing in the low risk situations in your everyday life. Maybe there may be some low risk situations with friends. If nothing else, start practicing saying some of these things while you're eating at Chick-fil-A with other Christians.
No.
Practice it there and then say, I thought about how I might say this to my grandchild. Practice on each other. So these are some specific things that we can do once we are getting a little bit older and have a little bit more discretionary time to make that our lives matter, to keep Christ's purpose right here, you know, like phylactery on our heads. Keep it ever before us and not get distracted by the desire just to sit down and rest and pass the baton off it. Nope, it's just now time to get in the game.
Yeah, exactly. You're in a stage to where you can focus. And I love how you mentioned that there's so many ways in which you can get involved. It's really a matter of trying to narrow it down. That's the problem, not picking, you know, oh, I don't have enough resources. No, you got plenty. And you can start off at the most entry level to where you are just grabbing a book, reading a blog, listening to a podcast, or man, have your grandkids hook up YouTube to your TV and you can watch little clips of Frank Turek and, okay, how would I respond to this question?
Yes.
To where you can start off at the very entry level. Then you can even shift to reading more robust books, depending on the author, whether it's William Lane Craig or Plantinga. You can audit so many courses. So many seminaries offer the ability to audit classes to where you don't have the papers due. You don't have to do the tests. You just get to there and absorb it, which is accessible. If you're on the road with an RV, if you've got like a tablet or something, you can do that as well. Or to like your model, you actually went back to school and got a PhD, which is incredible. So depending on where God's calling is in your life, there is a way in which you can gain the knowledge to be able to give a reason for the hope that's within you and then pass that down to your adult children and grandchildren. Because man, Tricia, it's one of those, so many people have come up to me and said, well, I think I missed the boat. My kid's now off to college and I didn't know any of this stuff. Or, you know, maybe I'm not seeing my adult child as much and only occasionally see my grandchild. And one of the things I love to tell them is, no, you haven't missed the boat. If you're still breathing and your child is still breathing or grandkid, whomever, then the Holy Spirit is still working. You just got to start talking. And so it's just we need to shift our perspective and our approach to where, man, I'm in a stage in my life where I can leverage the time that I have to the glory of the kingdom and focus in on being that missional place within my family and pouring that down in my children. And man, God uses every moment of that. It's such a blessing to do that.
Yes. And what if you just decided, well, I can't talk to my child. Right now we're estranged, okay? So what if I begin writing in a journal and just each day, one reason, something I learned from the book I read about why I believe what I believe, about what the truth is, about the New Testament and its trustworthiness, as I read just the new things I learn, or I watch Frank or someone else engage, like Charlie, on college campuses. How many of us who are apologists, this is what we do. We do that too. We watch them because they're modeling for us how to take the theory that we learn from the books or from reading and put it into practice. And we long for that. And we may not have that many opportunities. So we learn, we watch. And then what if we just kept a journal? Maybe the first time in our lives we got to keep a journal. And we made that journal a daily journey of just look what I'm learning about these truths of the Christian faith that Christ has embedded in reality for me to learn and be able to share with others. Then whenever there is that one opportunity, you might just make a copy of a few of those pages. There might be someone in your family who needs to hear it. And because you've written it out, you can say it.
Yeah.
What a beautiful step to take and proactive and refusing to be paralyzed by the, I've got to learn everything and determined to learn something.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, Tricia, thank you so much for joining today. Y'all, if this podcast has been a blessing to you, continue to like and subscribe Mama Bear Apologetics on social media. You can follow us also on mamabearapologetics.com. We've got blogs, podcasts, resources. You can request a speaker. We got all the things to help you be able to stand firm in the faith. Now, Tricia, is there any way for people to maybe get in contact with you, or is just through Mama Bear the best way? I wasn't sure if you were on social media.
Yes, I am. My website is not in that great a condition. It is at Tricia@DrNanaTalksFaith. If they want to email me, they may certainly reach me through Mama Bear, because I work with you all a good bit and will be on the speaking team, so I can come and speak on some of the specific areas that I will be working on with Mama Bear, and I'm available. But they can reach me. They can go to Dr. Nana Talks Faith, is DrNanaTalksFaith.com. And that's my website. And they can certainly email me at Tricia@DrNanaTalksFaith or Tricia@MamaBearApologetics.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We hope this has been a blessing with you or to you, and we will see you next time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, hop over to MamaBearApologetics.com, where you can get more links to podcasts, blogs, and even request a speaker for your next women's event, family retreat, or your next church conference.
Mama Bear Apologetics is a listener-supported program, so if you really like what we're doing, please go over to our website, www.mamabearapologetics.com, and click donate.